Please, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. You say, oh, we're going to have a Christmas message. Well, sort of, kind of. I said last week I'm done talking about the silent treatment of God, and I got to reading the Christmas story. And there it was all over again. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to see, you know, what we've been discussing out of Malachi. We're talking about God speaking to a nation. There was principles. God changes not. God is who he is. God's principles are the same. His character is the same. The way he looks at things are the same. Truth doesn't change. If it's true, it's true. And truth doesn't change. And yet we were kind of talking kind of more of a corporate mentality because of the way God dealt with Israel. But in the New Testament here, you come across, and it's interesting because it's like it picks up right where we left off in Malachi. I mean, right where we left off in Malachi. The 400 years have occurred, and God comes back, and he speaks for the first time. He cuts off the silent treatment for the first time in 400 years. And we go right back to where we were. Now, there's some individual cases here that I want us to see. And I'm hoping, again, I hope you understand why I did this series of messages here. We live and go through day by day, and I think many folks think, well, God never says anything to me. He's not talking to me. I'm not learning anything new. And usually what it is because God has stopped talking because we haven't listened to what he said last. And what was said, well, maybe I'll come back to that part later. But let's move on right now, God. Well, see, we don't get to choose that. God says, I've got something I'm speaking to your heart in your life right now. And we try to push it off, and he says, no, that's what I'm talking about. Well, let me think about it, God. I'll come back to it right now. That's the next stage for your life right now. And until you decide you're going to take that part and go with it, you're going to stagnate right where you are, and you're going to feel like God's not telling you anything new. I have heard this, don't get me wrong, and I know it can be my fault as a preacher or whatever, but I've heard preachers over the years all over the country say, people leave the church because, well, I'm just not getting anything out of the message anymore. It's not speaking it to me. Usually, it's because God has spoken, and they haven't done anything with what God spoke to them about. And so they go to church, and all they hear is the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Like I was talking about tithing the other week. No matter what the preacher preached about, that's what I got out of the message. Now, I could have said, well, I don't want to go back to church. All it does is preach on tithing. But he wasn't preaching on tithing. The Holy Spirit was preaching on tithing. And I wasn't listening. So I want to read some spots here. First of all, you keep your finger in Luke. I want to read the last few verses of Malachi. These are the last words of God to mankind, to the people of God, before 400 years of silence. And we went through all that, talking about fearing his name, and people just kind of disregarding God, disesteeming God, disobeying God, and as if it was no big deal, just doing what they want. And he talked about how the day is going to come when it's going to burn us an oven. We talked about that in Peter as well. So, you know, if we know this is all going to melt with a fervent heat, what kind of life should we actually have? And then God, if he wanted to get rid of us, he would have done that a long time ago. Why does he go through all these loops and all these hoops and all these jumps all over these hurdles to try to come? Because he loves us with an everlasting love. He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Paul said this way, I will by all means save some. Do what we can to win what we can. And so even with the silent treatment coming, the last words of God in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Malachi is this. He says, look, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What's he saying? Before I wipe this whole place out, before I wipe earth off the map of the universe, and create a new heaven, a new earth. Before all this happens, he says, I'm going to send you Elijah. Look at verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He says, my goal, I'm going to send Elijah. So he said, watch out. One of these days, you're going to have someone come in the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to turn the hearts of the people back to the children, back to God, if you will, back to a relationship there. I'm going to, listen, and by the way, it's the heart. It's the heart. There's a lot of religion all over the world. And we can say, well, we worship God. You go to a church. You sing some songs. You stand up when you're supposed to stand up. You sit down when you're supposed to sit down. You say the right words at the right time. You know, preacher says this, and then we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, I'm blessed to be the name of the Lord. And he says, I'm blessed to be the name of the Lord. Can you know how empty that is? Listen. Now I know you got to teach your kids some things, but suppose you're sitting at the dinner, ladies, and you fix a nice meal at the end of Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal, and your husband stands up and says, "Now, kids, we had a fine meal here today, and what do you say, your mother? Blessed be you, mother. And we have fine drinks here. Bless you, be mother." You had the house all decorated, wherein, blessed be thou mother. Is that what you want? No, you want the little kid to walk in and say, this is really pretty, mommy. It was good. That's all you want? Well, we didn't do it all formal. We didn't do it all at the same time. No, what you wanted was their heart. That's what God wants. Individual hearts. However that heart is, he wants the heart. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse number 5. Lord has promised the coming of Elijah. And he says what he's going to do is prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah says it that way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah. Your Bible may say Zacharias. Some may say Zechariah. Zechariah is the Hebrew version of the word. Zacharias is the Greek version of the name there. So it's all the same guy. Named Zechariah of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. What does that mean? She was from the lineage of the priests. Aaron was the priest, the first high priest. And so all the priests come down through Aaron. So she, you know, she was kind of all in that. They kind of grew up in all that. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So they were good people. Good people. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, he was at the temple working in the temple before God in the order of his course. They would take turns with all these priests, and you had to make a living. So there's times where you're back at your house, back at the farm, doing what you need to do, but then you get called up to service for a while. It's kind of like, you know, the army reserves, if you will. You know, you got to go in, you do your job and come back, and they take turns, someone else. And so his job, according to the custom, verse 9 of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So that it turned out that they kind of drew straws or whatever. I don't know how they did, but it was his turn to burn the incense. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And so he's doing his job, and they're all outside praying. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. speaking of John the Baptist. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Watch. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, watch, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now watch. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That is a direct quote out of Malachi. Now, listen, he's a priest. They take turns reading the scriptures. That's the last words of their Bible. That was the last words of their Bible. My guess is he knew those words. And so God said, now just so you know, your son John, little Johnny, the one you've been praying for all these years, he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. In other words, the children who don't know what they're doing, to those who do know what they're doing, to obedient there, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now watch. And Zechariah said unto the angel, well, whereby shall I know this? In other words, how do I know this is going to happen? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad things. How do I know it's going to happen? Well, here I am. I mean, when's the last time an angel showed up on your doorstep? Well, how do I know it's going to happen? Well, verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about the silent treatment continues. The silent treatment continues. But we're going to see some things very specific here this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit, please. I yield to you. So what's said is what you once said. What's not said is not what you don't once said. And that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, may we see ourselves in this scripture. May we be a Zechariah. May we be a Mary. May we be one of these Pharisees, and we're going to talk about here toward the end. And may we put ourselves in these shoes, and may we see ourselves. And Lord, if there's something that needs to be tended to, Lord, tell us what it is and bring us our hearts back to you. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. We've been studying the last words of God in the Old Testament before the 400 years of silence. That silence was broken by the fulfillment of the last words of Malachi. That message was fulfilled by John the Baptist. The silence started with the last words of Malachi, and those words were, the silence was broken when we have the fulfillment of John the Baptist here. Now, in the Old Testament, God was speaking to the people as a whole, but the principle can be applied to individuals. God changes not, and that's why Jacob is not consumed. We heard that in Malachi. I change not, therefore Jacob is not consumed. Why am I even bothering with all this? Because I love you. In God's mercy and love, God does open up communication once again between himself and the world, just as he promised. And once again, those that, watch me, believe in all that God is will have communications with God. And those that refuse to believe will once again receive the silent treatment. Now, I want us to see some specific examples. And you may think that God is being rather picky about this. That, just once again, proves how disrespectful and disesteeming we are towards the Lord God. How dare we show any disrespect to the Lord at all? The slightest shadow of disrespect toward God is a sin and a shame. And we're thinking, well, God, you're getting kind of picky here. How dare we say he's getting picky? We don't know the definition of picky as well as he does. Now, when I say that disbelief brings about the silent treatment from God, I'm saying that when we fail to or refuse to fear God, we are in effect saying that God is no big deal and we do not need to fear him because he's not all that holy and not all that righteous as the Word of God says, and he's not going to judge us like the Word of God says, and we don't need to worry about the consequences of disesteeming God as the Word of God says. In other words, we do not believe that God is who and what he says he is. Now, we need to be grateful and thankful to the Lord for the mercy toward us and not be abusing the mercy that he's given us. We shouldn't be presuming upon him. Listen, we do not believe in God and all that he is. What happens? Those that come to God must believe that he is and that he, all that he claims to be, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, the Lord says, number one, he said he will break his silence. Now remember, in the Old Testament, he's teaching us some things. The New Testament says that the Old Testament is ensamples, E-N-S, not examples, but ensamples. It means to strike a die. It means to tell a story that you can't, to make an indelible imprint in our heart so that we will learn the lesson and not forget it. And so, to be honest with you, sometimes in the Old Testament we say, well, that must not have happened. That's too drastic. No, God was trying to make an impression. Don't lessen the impression. So that was really crazy. That was really wild. I can't imagine anything like that happened. Well, that's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. That's why it's so far-fetched. Now, the Lord says he will break the silence. In Malachi 4, we just read it, last two verses, he says, I'm going to send Elijah, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or the disobedient to the authority. We're going to work this out. By the way, if your kids aren't listening to them, you better make sure they know you love them. Not by giving them everything you want, but by doing right. I'll tell you what, it's interesting. We had I had a little, what was it, Silas or was it Joanna? I think it was Joanna. Boy, she's going to be something. She already thinks she's the queen of the church. Wow. Anyway, we were having a rehearsal and they were supposed to sit still in the little chair there and it was not good. And Esther's trying to play piano and try to keep the kids straight. I felt so bad for her. And I probably stepped over my bounds here a little bit, but I went over there and I said, no, Joanna, you're going to sit in this seat. I said, no, you're not. But I was firm. That's what we're going to do. But you know what? When it was all done, I said, you can get down. And I said, boy, you did a good job. She got down. And what do you know what she wanted? She wanted a big hug. I'm telling you, kids want boundaries. Reasonable boundaries. You need to train them. They feel secure. Listen, when babies are born, when they're first born, and they don't have anything on them. Have you ever watched a brand new baby? They're going, and they're crying, and they got their hands going, so what do? You put them and you swaddle them. You put that blanket on them. They go, why? They feel safe in the confines. Your kids will feel safe. You don't need to. Now, if you want to let your kids learn to make choices, give them two to choose from, and both of them you would be fine with. Teach them to make good choices. But you make choices for them. You teach them. You train them. Listen, they'll get older. You'll be able to turn some things over to them. But the point is, we got to little by little. But see, that's exactly what happens with us. We want to do our own thing and not let God put any confounds on us. Now, the Lord tells us, who will come? He says Elijah will come. And the Lord tells us what he wants to accomplish. He says we're going to turn the hearts. And he tells us when he will come. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Before it's too late. He says he's going to come. Is he going to come? Yeah. He's going to come. The last words are going to come. Should Zechariah have known that? Sure, he should have known that. Now, number two, God does break his silence. God breaks the silence. We just read it. And God works through Zechariah. Zechariah was a good man. It says he walked in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord blameless. In other words, he wasn't perfect, but the fact is, if you followed his life, it seemed like he was. You couldn't catch him really on anything. And Zechariah was one of the priests, and it was the priests that Malachi complained about. Do you remember that when we were studying Malachi? It was one of the priests that they were complaining about. And so God comes to where? Back to the priests. But it came to a good one. Came to Zechariah. So God is coming to the leadership of Israel and giving them another opportunity to have God's blessings and not the curse. And let me say this. I don't know whether you've noticed this in your life, but further, especially when I wasn't necessarily walking with him so much when I was younger. I mean, I basically was. I was a good kid, but, you know, my heart was a little different than what it should be. There's times when you feel like everything goes sour, and then you get a little reprieve. And then you got things come, man. You should say, all things come, bad things happen in threes. You ever hear, bad things happen in threes. And I don't think it's always three. Sometimes it's 30. Sometimes you feel like God is just pounding, no matter what you say, you're not getting through. And then he gives a little breather. And you know what? Instead of saying, all right, Lord, okay, you got my attention. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What needs to be changed? We say, wow, I got through that, and we'll get through it again. And God has taken us through these times. Well, you know, he did that with the nation. He said, I gave you 400 years of silence to think about this. So now he comes back. He says, okay, let's talk. So he comes to Zechariah, and he's going to talk. But I'll tell you what happens. In our passage, it says in verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor drink strong drink, and he be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And may the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him. All those things are wonderful. And get down to verse 18, and Zechariah says unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Now that word whereby basically means this. What are you going to give me to confirm that this is actually going to happen? Because we're pretty old. Now think about this. This is Zechariah, the priest. He said, what are you going to give me? I mean, the chances are, aren't real good that we're going to have anything. The chances are very good, in fact, that you can count on it. But how am I going to count it? Because God said so. See, the angel just quoted to him exactly what God said. Well, how do you know this is going to happen? Now, what he should have said was this. I heard this was going to happen. Are you telling me it's going to happen with me? That's okay. But he didn't say that. He says, well, how is this going to happen? Why? How should I have known this? Well, firstly, Zechariah should have known the scripture of Malachi and recognized what is happening and had been expecting it all along to happen in some way, whether through him or someone else. And many of us, listen, we get the silent treatment from God because we just don't believe that God is going to make a difference in our lives. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. He says, I will supply all your needs. Well, how do I know? I just told you. Well, how do I know you're going to do this, God? Because you have my word on it. You see. Well, that's no big deal. That's because we're so used to doing it. God said it. Remember, there was a series of bumper stickers. One was, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, then there were some folks who kind of back and disputed that when it says, God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. God said it. Done. And a lot of us are not hearing from God because we don't believe God when he says something. We're reading the Bible and say, well, that sounds real good, but it would probably never happen. You know, I've never seen that happen. I don't see how this is going to happen. You know, so it probably isn't going to happen, but it's nice to think about. We don't believe either because we refuse to believe or simply because we do not know the Word of God, and thus we do not know the promises of God. Many of us live in the presence of the silence of God because we do not live as if God is who He says He is. Sometimes you want to come and hear the preacher preach and you say, well, that sounds real good. I wish it was true. Sounds nice. Well, Lord, listen, I'm not giving you the promises. God's giving you the promises. I'm just drawing your attention to it. Don't take my word on it. Take His word on it. Secondly, Zechariah is talking to an angel. How do I know this, that this is going to happen? Well, God said so, and He sent an angel. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. It is not every day that we walk and talk with angels. Yet Zechariah seems not to be all that impressed. And you know what? God often gives us encouragement to believe, but we still fight God's efforts with our own disbelief. There's an angel. Well, that's probably just I had too much pizza last night for dinner. That can't be true. We are so set in our way that God's not going to really do anything, that when God shows signs of His movement, we don't even recognize it. He says, I am sent to show thee these glad tidings. You would think you would be excited about this instead of trying to discredit and prove it. He says, I'm here to give you glad tidings. Well, I don't know. How do I know this is going to happen? Here I am. And here, watch this. Zechariah, now he's a priest. We're going to hear him in a little while here. Prophesy. In other words, give the word of God to the people. But right now, God says, I'm not giving you anything else. Zechariah's disbelief brings silence from God. Luke 20:120. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not My words. Which shall be fulfilled in their season. It's going to happen. You saw it in print in the Word of God in Malachi. And now have you seen somebody come along? A messenger from God is what angel means. A messenger from God has given you a clear presentation of what's going to happen, and you don't believe it. So I tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to say anything until the baby's born, which really means he's not going to get anything new from God either. Now, I'm sure that what the angel expected to happen was for him to tell Zechariah the glad tidings, and Zechariah would go to people and tell them about the baby, and then about what God is going to do, and through the baby, and that the baby was a fulfillment of God's promise 400 years ago in Malachi. That's what Zechariah could have done. He said, you know, read that back. Hey, guys, look at this. You see this here in Malachi? That's my boy. God just sent an angel to tell me, that's my boy. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to the fathers. I tell you, we're going to have a new society. God's going to do something. This is the one we've been waiting for. And they've all been waiting for him. This is the one we've been waiting for, and it's going to be my boy. Beat that, buddy. Instead, the angel Gabriel is met with more disbelief, and so there's a continuation of the silent treatment for a few more months. So God still doesn't give Israel His word yet, but His silence. Now, Elizabeth's conception is seen as a communication from God. Look at verse 23, chapter 1, verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Listen, for a woman this old to bear a child was unheard of and would certainly draw attention to her and Zechariah. And when the baby arrives, folks will be expecting something special from this little miracle baby. And people are getting the idea that maybe God will do something amongst them again. So he's giving a little encouragement there. Watch this. God is willing to speak to others. Just because one of you is messing it up doesn't mean he won't speak to somebody else. Look at verse 26. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now watch that. Zechariah and Elizabeth were, according to the word of God, blameless. They were righteous, good people, just like Mary. Good people can be stuck with the silent treatment from God. Why? "Because you did not believe me," the angel said. Good people. "You're going to be blessed among women." Verse 29. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation." This is some howdy-do here, in other words. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." See, what is Elizabeth? It was a communication from God. With God nothing is impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, watch me. You say, well, Mary questioned him. He didn't close her mouth up until the baby was born. Ah, wait a minute. Listen. Zechariah says what? How shall I know this is going to happen? That was his question. Well, he had God's word on it. Had an angel given a personal announcement. Mary asked this. How can this happen? And she's not given the silent treatment. Why? Mary did not ask, how shall this be? Mary responds, that's amazing. How are you going to do it? That's her question. Her question wasn't not if you can do it, but how's this going to happen? How, I don't know a man. She said, well, this can't happen. I've never known a man. No. She says, how's it going to happen? I've never known a man. She said, how's it going to happen? This is something. And he explained to her how it was going to happen. They say, see, Zechariah, who should have known the scriptures, questioned if it could happen. Mary questions, in what way is God going to bring this to pass? Not if God can bring it to pass. So God breaks his silence and speaks through Zechariah. Look at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. In other words, the general public saw the hand of God in all this and realized that God is now communicating with them again. And they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias. You know what Zechariah's name means? This is I love this. God has remembered. We might have forgotten in the last 400 years what's going on, but God hasn't forgotten. We might think God has forgotten us. We may have forgotten God in all in our life. God has not forgotten you. He doesn't talk to me anymore. That's not on his side. That's on your side. And he has not forgotten you. He wants you to come back. Verse 60. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. John means this. Jehovah has bent down low to show us his loving favor. Because see, and that came from God not forgetting. God has remembered, and in his remembrance, he has now bent down low. He has humbled himself, if you will, to serve the lowly creatures that was disesteeming, looking down on him, disregarding and disobeying him. And he said unto her, verse 61, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made their signs unto the father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Listen, this is not the same old that they have been experiencing for the 400 years. This is Jehovah expressing his mercy toward us in something new and unusual. Man had found it hard to submit to God, and so God has stooped to come to us. When they realized that this baby meant that God went out of his way to come to us, even though we were too proud to come to him, God then officially and publicly breaks his silence and announces to the world that he's picking up where he left off 400 years. Verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and he praised God. Immediately. That means at the exact moment, in the context of where he was and what had just happened, so we can see the connection. He says, no, he's John. God has come to us. And when he says, that's true, all of a sudden, Zechariah, who has been unable to speak for the last 9 months, just starts talking in the midst of all of it. Verse 65, and fear, exceeding fear, great alarm, fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. In other words, the lack of fear, watch, the lack of fear was the reason God gave them the silent treatment in the first place. And sometimes God has to allow us to see what life is like without him for a while, so we will appreciate it when it means when we have him. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. The people realized that this is an event from God, and God wants to communicate to them once again. Now, so God gives official communication to the world once again because of God's willingness to stoop to us. Look at it. Look what he says in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, gave out the word of God, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Visited means he came and saw the need. And redeemed, that means he fulfilled all the requirements to pay the ransom. These people are lost. I got to go get them. They won't come to me. I guess we're going to have to go get them. You know, it's kind of like, I've never had animals. I'm not really an animal person. But, you know, some dog runs off where they get fed and cared for and water, and they run off. And you got to go chase them. You go out the back door, and you call them. You know, Rover, Skippy, Brownie, Adolf, where are you? Where are you? And you know what happens? He doesn't come back. You go out looking for him. You start putting up posters. You hang them up all over the telephone poles and the grocery store, and you go looking for him. You say, well, the dumb dog, he knows where he gets fed. He ought to just be here. Well, you go, I'm sorry, I'm not an animal person, but it's just a dog. But you love him. And you know, the angels in heaven are probably saying, well, Lord, if that's the way they want to be, let them go. They're just a shovel full of dirt. You gave them everything. You put breath in their mouth, in their lungs to breathe. You give them a mind to think, and they don't have enough sense to stay with you. What's their problem? He says, I love them. I want to care for them. I want to be their God. He's redeemed his people. Verse 69, hath raised up an horn of salvation. In other words, put together the power and the authority needed to save us. For us in the house of his servant David, and he has spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. In other words, this is what was telling us all along before he went silent. This is what he was telling us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to redeem his holy covenant. To remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to his father Abraham. And that he would grant unto us, give, not reward, but give out of his heart, out of his love for us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, without second thought, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. In other words, to let everyone know that deliverance from the penalty of sin is available through the pardon of God, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, the giver of a new day from on high, hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts to the day of his showing. Let me give you number three, real quick here. All that happened, but the silence continued. Watch. In his mercy, God stooped to man to speak to him once more, even though they had disesteemed him for centuries, disregarded him, disobeyed him, and deserved to be disinherited. Not only that, but he came to earth himself to express God's love and forgiveness that is available to him. Now, just hang on. You understand what I'm saying here in a minute. In Hebrews 1:1, it says this, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, but whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now watch me. So in other words, he comes, he pronounces himself there in front of everybody by John the Baptist. Then Jesus comes. And Jesus has about 3.5 years worth of ministry. 3 years of ministry go by, as the world sees God through the life of Jesus Christ, and still many refuse to believe God. Now, I'm going to show you something. I know we're getting late here, but it won't take too long. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 29. We're coming up to the last days. We're heading into Jerusalem, triumphal entry. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, followed Jesus. This is This is 33 years later than what we were just talking about. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out. Now, this is two blind men, two regular guys on the street, blind, probably blind all their life, have never been able to have a lot of schooling, but look what they know. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto him? He didn't give them the silent treatment. Why? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately the eyes received sight and they followed him. They believed him. They didn't get the silent treatment. Right? And if you don't want to see and believe, nothing is going to convince you otherwise. But if you want to see, even though you're blind, you can see. Now, let's move on. In Matthew chapter 21, it says, and when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, where they came out to Bethphage, and we know all the triumphal entry and so forth. Verse 4 says, all this was done, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and coat of the foal of an ass. And disciples went as Jesus commanded. And watch, look at verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried this, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The general public knew who he was. Go down to verse 12. And Jesus, after he goes into town, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame, watch, came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, children, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. The priests and the scribes said, we don't like this. And they said to him, hearest thou what thou sayest? And Jesus said to them, yea, have you never heard how that mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city. Now jump down to verse 23. He comes back in later the next day. And when he was coming to the temple, Jesus comes to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave you this authority? Hang on. And Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing. If you tell me, I am likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Look what it is. It goes right back to where we started. The baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, watch, why did ye not believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither till I you by what authority I do these things. They refused to believe. Even though the general public all knew who he was. And you know what he got? The silent treatment. The silent treatment. Now, my last point here is this. The silent treatment from God is our choice. The silent treatment from God is our truth. Those that believe and hear from God. Watch. John 1, 6 says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Not that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. Even though they knew who he was, they received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The silent treatment of God comes when we refuse to believe. We go back to that passage there in Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said, I also will ask you one thing, if you tell me, and likewise will I tell you. And they reasoned. And he said, we can't tell them. And he says, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You want to hear from God? Listen to what he has to say. You want to hear from God? I've had people say, well, you said when you came up here to be the pastor of this church, you knew without a shadow of a doubt that this was where you're supposed to be. And I did. When I ended up going to seminary the first time, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that was what I was supposed to do. Go before that, I knew without a shadow of a doubt I was supposed to marry that woman. I knew it. I just knew it. But I tell you why. Not that I'm perfect, not that I'm all wise. I'll tell you this. If you decide you're going to obey what God has told you, he'll tell you some more. Now, if you say, well, okay, I'm going to try this for a month. Because you know what he knows? He knows you're going to try this for a month. If it doesn't work for a month, you're going to go back to your old ways. You know what that means? You're willing to gamble on it a little bit, but you don't necessarily trust him. The silent treatment that we give from God is our choice. Listen, now I know that there's some couples who get a little bit, crossways, and all of a sudden there's a silent treatment. You know, that's not what God's doing. He's saying, I'm here. I want you. I will be your God, your Savior, your confidant, your Prince of Peace. And we said, well, okay. When I need you, I'll let you know. I mean, we wouldn't say that, but it's how we live. And God says, well, then I'll let you know something when you come back and start doing what I've told you so far. We must believe. Listen, he came into his own received him not, but as many, it might not have been many at all, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He reciprocated the communication. Now watch. All done. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E, Jehovah, the self-existing one, the creator of the universe, is God. The provider, the protector, everything. Watch this. Your God is the Lord, the boss, the master. See, we like the idea to say, well, the Lord's my God. Okay, yeah, but God's the Lord. Belief must be perfected, made complete and active by your works, if you will. You're not saved by works, but if you say, I'll try it for a while and you stop, your works say you don't believe it. When you feel like God has put you out on a limb, you stay there. He knows where you are. Sometimes he says, wait. If your belief is not made real in the way you live your life and how you interact with God and the way you interact with others, your faith is dead and you most likely will not have any personal communication from God. But if you will return to God, he said in Malachi, I will return to you. Zechariah was a good man. I want you to understand that. He was a good man. But even a good man, God had to say, okay, we're just going to be quiet here for a while. I told you. It's all in black and white. I sent my angel. Well, how do I know it's going to happen? What more does he want? Comes to Mary, says, it's going to happen. He says, wow, how are you going to do that? Didn't say if you're going to do it, how? And then it comes to the people. And the general public knew who he was. And then these priests and the scribes and the elders say, well, we're just going to keep doing what we want to do. And the Lord says, well, fine. You don't need me. You don't have me. Do your life. It's your choice. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. That was kind of laborious, a little bit tedious there at times, I understand. But I hope they understand, Lord, that you want to talk. This is not a little tiff that you're upset about and you're going to be stubborn and obstinate. That's not it. Lord, you would that none should perish, but also come to repentance. You would that all would be able to live in the victory of your Spirit, and yet many times we don't, simply because we don't listen and believe to what you have for us already, or speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. To stand.